I'm sorry I haven't a clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Jack D.
Hello and welcome to another socially distanced episode of I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. In line with the latest government advice, the teams and our audience are safely confined within our respective domestic bubbles throughout the length and breadth of the UK. I join you from my own bubble, the presidential suite of the Hotel de Paris Monte Carlo here in Monaco. Following the government's lead, I decided to test my eyesight with a brief 600-mile drive to the French Riviera. Monaco is home to the British retail entrepreneur Sir Philip Green, where he lives aboard his super yacht Lionheart. Lionheart recently made maritime history when it became the only vessel ever to encounter an oil slick inside the boat. Over 90 metres in length, the Lionheart boasts its own private cinema where movie fans, Sir Philip, hosts private screenings. Friends and family send him the latest releases from home. And only last week, a group of former BHS employees clubbed together and forwarded Sir Philip a pristine copy of Robert Maxwell, The Final Days. A recent survey discovered that one in three Monaco residents are millionaires. Even more remarkable, that survey took place in the Monaco Wetherspoons. The millionaire residents of the Principality revel in its reputation as a haven for tax avoiders. This was emphasised last month when Prince Albert unveiled a 50-foot statue of Jimmy Carr. Formula One champion Lewis Hamilton lives in Monaco. He claims his decision to move to the Principality was simply a question of the weather, whether or not he wanted to pay any UK tax. The Beckhams are regular visitors to Monaco and rent a luxury villa in the La Votto district. The villa features an infinity pool, a state-of-the-art gym, and a library, or as David calls it, the panic room. Monaco is home to the world's most famous casino. The Monte Carlo Casino has been the location of no fewer than three James Bond films. It was this that attracted Pfizer to use it as the launch venue for their wonder drug Viagra. According to their campaign, Viagra won't turn you into Daniel Craig, but it will make you Roger Moore. Let's meet the teams. In Bubble A, Barry Cryer, Graham Garden and Sandy Toksvig. And in Bubble B, Tony Hawks, Pippa Evans and Harry Hill. And taking his place in the remote scoring booth, please welcome our isolating tree trunk in trunks, the Immaculate Sven. We start this week with some new additions to the Uxbridge English Dictionary. A good dictionary is essential for learning the correct use of similar words. For example, many people don't understand the subtle difference between a psychopath and a sycophant. Well, a psychopath is someone with a personality disorder characterized by impaired empathy and egotistical traits, whereas a sycophant is Dumbo with coronavirus. But the meanings of words are constantly changing, team. So your suggestions, please, of any new definitions you may have spotted recently. And maybe you could start, Pippa.
Cosplay. To dress up as a lettuce.
Barry.
Ran some. I didn't walk all the way.
Tony.
Tapestry. Where the Spanish grow their savoury appetizers.
Sandy.
Reiki. A bit like a rake.
Harry.
Brief. A very small piece of French cheese.
And Graham.
Hillary, the opposite of flattery.
Shindig, the horticultural wing of the IRA.
Extreme. A dried-up river.
Subwoofer. Puppy.
Dressage. Sausage in a dress.
Temp tresses. Part-time wigs.
Pea shooter. Penis.
Pixelate, an overdue elf.
Codswallop, hit by a fish.
Fantasist, a swelling caused by too much fizzy orange drinks.
Mendip, erectile dysfunction.
Misnomer, one who yearns for lost garden ornaments.
Fromage frais, French term meaning suitable for ages 3 and above.
Fromage. Takes a while, that one.
Oh, what's the point?
Nomad, a commercial selling small garden ornaments.
Finance, really good ant.
Winery, complaint department.
Figurine, butter substitute made from figs.
Admirable. Make a room feel more like a disco. Thanks, Sandy.
My favourite so far.
Just to the audience, you're missing the repair shop, all right? So anyone who wants to go watch the repair shop...
Starfish, a bit like a staff.
Prefix, broken. It was clever.
Important, an ant purchased overseas.
Investigator, crocodile in his undershirt.
Do you want to get your moaning in now before I do this one? Here we go. Here we go, eyes down. Omelette, a short period of meditation.
I'm loving your work, Harry.
Yeah.
Thanks, Sandy. Move over, you've got most of the duvet.
Well, it says here, well done, teams. Now, the teams are going to do a spot of acting for us now in the round called Sound Charades. It's a variation of the old TV favourite, Give Us a Clue, the show that featured Mime Master General Lionel Blair. It's recently been revealed in government papers that Lionel played a crucial role in the war effort. His one-man show is believed to have had a significant effect on troop morale, and that despite him only having rudimentary German. Tony, Pippa and Harry, you're to start, please, and your title will shortly be displayed to our audience via their smartphones. And for listeners at home, here's the mystery voice.
1917. 1917.
Right, so you're guessing this one, Barry, Graham and Sandy, and our audience may care to clap if they think that they're getting warm when they're trying to guess. So off you go, please. Tony, Pippa and Harry.
OK, this is a film and it's two words and it goes like this. Hey, Harry, stay for supper.
Oh, yes, do stay.
You're both very kind, but I'm afraid I've got an appointment in 2 minutes exactly.
Two minutes?
But it's only a quarter past seven.
Exactly.
The end.
Mm. Yeah, it's a short one.
Very clever, it's very clever.
A quarter past seven is crucial, isn't it?
Well,
mm-hmm.
So you said 2 minutes. I
could have been 2 minutes. Yeah. 2 minutes after
quarter past
seven.
Yeah, that'd be 17 minutes.
17.
Which would be 1917.
Yes.
Very good.
He's on fire.
Yeah. Your turn, Barry, Graham and Sandy, and your title is now being exhibited on the laser display board. And here again is the mystery voice for listeners at home.
Curb your enthusiasm. Curb your enthusiasm. And this one is a TV show, and it's three words. Hamish
Dougal.
You had your tea.
Indeed I have, and what a treat it was, here on our first trip to London town.
The great metropolis.
The smoke.
What?
The smoke.
Oh, don't worry about the smoke. I've a wee briquette smouldering in my sporran.
Oh, for the warmth.
That too.
Hello. I hope you don't mind me asking, but would you two old dears like me to help you across the road?
No. We're quite happy here.
In fact, we're admiring the edge of this pavement.
Really? What's so special about it?
Well, we've never seen the like.
We don't have streets like this in the Glen.
We had a zebra crossing in the Glen once, but we had to get rid of it.
Oh, it terrified Mistress McAllister. She thought it was a giant piano.
It's the edge of the pavement that captures our imagination.
Aye, that trim line of oblong stones separating the footpath from the tarmac.
We're mad about it.
Yes, that's obvious. So you could say, edge of the pavement, your passion.
Exactly.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Well, I think it's got something to do with a curb.
Yes.
What do you think, Harry?
Well, I didn't have curb. I was thinking flagstones and then the zebra crossing. So I've got the TV show Flagstones, Zebra Crossing. Which is on just after the repair shop, I think. It's on.
Yeah, you don't sound too enthusiastic. Oh. Tell us what it is, Pippa.
It's Seinfeld. No, sorry. It's Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Correct.
Indeed. Well, this next round is called What's the Question? And it's all about asking questions. And perhaps the most famous format involving questions asked is PMQs, in which Prime Minister Boris Johnson is obliged to provide off-the-cuff answers to tricky questions, the most regular being, where have you been and what time do you call this? In this round, teams, I'll give you the answers to some genuine questions and I'd like you to tell me what the original questions would have been. OK, so, Tony, we'll start with you. Here's the answer and I need to know what the original question was. 11% of Americans think it's a sexually transmitted disease.
Why should you never admit to having an MBE?
In fact, the original question was, what did a US online survey reveal about HTML? here's one for you, Sandy, the answer, and then I need the question from you. The answer is bright neon, orange and toxic.
Can you give me four words that describe Donald Trump?
In fact, the real one was, how would you describe the two-headed sea slug? Barry? You there, Barry?
Yes. I'm here in the physical sense, yes.
here's the answer for you, Barry, and I need the question. They never actually touch each other.
Why have the Queen and Prince Philip been together for so long?
In fact, it is what is remarkable about atoms at room temperature. Graham, here's the answer and what is the question. An accidental number one in Canada.
What did Bear Grylls do when he was attacked by a polar bear?
It was actually, what did Taylor Swift have after a glitch in the Canadian iTunes store in 2014? Pippa, here's an answer for you. I want the question. Pizzly and Growler.
By what names do I call my labia?
My word.
The question was, what are the two names given to hybrid bears that are a result of a cross between a polar and a grizzly bear? If the father was a polar bear, it's a pizzly, and if the father was a grizzly bear, it's a growler.
Yeah, but nobody cares now about
no,
that.
No. And Harry, here's the answer for you. It's scientifically proven to help you sleep better. Mm.
Name one of the advantages of death.
In fact, the question I was after was, why is it a good idea to have a bath before you go to bed?
Yes,
well, look, here are some for any of you to have a go at, all right? I'll give you the answer, I need the question. Here's the first answer. The answer is sniffing, licking and rubbing.
What were the original lyrics to the Dusty Springfield hit Wishing and Hoping? Sniffing, licking, rubbing, and show me that you care.
In fact, it was what behaviours do lions and jaguars demonstrate when they're given catnip?
Of course, yes.
And here's another one. Twice the size of France.
How big is the Kent lorry park?
In fact, the question was, how big is the Gobi Desert? Here's another one. Our bodies react by going into flight or fight mode.
What happens when we get to the Ryanair departure gate?
It's what happens when we're made to jump while watching a horror film. Here's an answer for you to give me the question to. The female does most of it.
What's true about all work worldwide?
Slam.
Yeah. It was how do male and female lions divide their hunting responsibilities? So even true in the animal kingdom. Here's the answer. What was the question? The answer is, more people have set foot on the moon.
How big was Donald Trump's inaugural crowd?
In fact, the original question is, what is remarkable about the craggy granite mound in the North Atlantic known as Rockall? And what question prompted this answer? It has mismatched eyes and looks like a strawberry.
How do you recognise Michael Gove?
In fact, the question was, how does the strawberry squid get its name? What about this one? Here's the answer. Measuring sperm concentration using the camera on your smartphone.
What's your favourite excuse?
It is, in fact, what is the latest breakthrough in male fertility pioneered by the Harvard Medical School? And finally, here's the answer and what is the original question. Never straight in the first place.
What is the name of Philip Schofield's new autobiography?
In fact, the question was, is the Leaning Tower of Pisa leaning because it sank into the ground after it was constructed or because it was never straight in the first place?
No, of course.
Well, it's now time for some music in the game called Swanee Kazoo. This is where the teams duet to combine the world-beating cadence of the Swanee whistle with the World War I cacophony of the kazoo. The Swanee, or slide whistle, was first pioneered in Britain by the great Victorian whistle maker John Stevens. As a mark of respect at his funeral, mourners witnessed the coffin being lowered into the ground to the sound of a lone slide whistle, and then raised, and then lowered, and then raised, and then lowered again. Thank you, Tony. Thank you, Tony. Thank you. At the piano, we have Colin Sell. A review of Colin's last one-man show said it does exactly what it says on the tin. Coincidentally, when Colin plays, I find myself having to do exactly what it says on the tin. Apply one coat and leave. Barry, Graham and Sandy, you can start, and I'd like you to provide us with a rendition of I Got You, Babe, to feature Sandy Toksvig and Barry Cryer on kazoos and Graham Garden on the Swanee Whistle. Barry, Graham and Sandy, and indeed Colin. Who'd have guessed you're actually miles apart from each other?
True.
You now, Tony, Pippa and Harry, I'd like you to provide us with a rendition of Don't Go Breaking My Heart to feature Pippa Evans on kazoo, Tony Hawks on Swanee Whistle, and in an unseemly break from protocol, Harry Hill on the trombone.
Well, it is, in, you know, a large brass Swanee Whistle in many ways, isn't it, the trombone?
It is, yes. Lessons have paid off, Harry. Thank you.
Well, I had to have something to do in the lockdown, didn't I?
Yes. Well, it is very nearly the end of the show, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. But there is just time to fit in a quick round of car or bedroom. One of the most exciting future developments in automobile technology has to be the self-driving car pioneered by such tech giants as Uber, Google and Apple. Not to be outdone, Microsoft recently trialled their own driverless vehicle, though the first developer's report wasn't promising. It read, crashed as soon as I opened Windows. In this round, teams, I'd like you to come up with examples of phrases that might be suitable to use in either the car or the bedroom. Graham, you can start.
Do I have to look at those furry things dangling in front of me?
Pippa.
Good grief, do you ever wash this thing?
Barry.
Wake me up when we get there.
Tony.
I'm sure I can find it. Your father gave me directions.
Sandy.
It's cold, so I'm just going to turn her over for a few minutes.
And Harry.
If you pull hard on that, it folds down flat and you can get another one in the back.
Will you please look in the mirror before you pull out?
Ask that man over there if he knows where it is.
You can squeeze in behind the escort.
Faster, 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 faster.
Oh, this is boring. What's on Radio 4?
If you push it firmly in, a couple of minutes later it glows bright red and you can light cigarettes with it.
It starts to wobble when you get over 60.
Oh, this idiot's right up my arse.
Right, let's burn some rubber.
This has been a lot more fun since we picked up that hitchhiker.
Listen, I know it's an old one. Just try not to choke on the emissions. I used to be a family entertainer before this show.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, as the Taramasalata of time is yet again substituted on the Ocado Order of Destiny, while the Amazon parcel of plenty is discarded on the doorstep of despondence, then nicked by the tramp of eternity, I notice it's the end of the show. So, from the teams, Sven, myself and our isolating audience at home, it's goodbye. Goodbye.
Barry Cryer, Graham Darby, Sandy Toxvig, Tony Hawks, Pippa Evans and Harry Hill were being given silly things to do by Jack D, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme consultants were Fraser Steele and Stephen Dick, and the producer was John Naismith.